Live. Hi, everyone. I'm here with Jen Portland, and Jen started Excel Rain Man. That's at excelrainman.com back in May of 2008 while working full time. Excel Rain Man is a spreadsheet consulting company. So they reach out to people and provide spreadsheet solutions, either original or help customize spreadsheets that the business is already using. Since launching Excel Rain Man, Jen has worked early mornings, lunch hours, evenings, and weekends to keep this business moving forward. Sounds familiar. She's proud to say that starting in July 2012, she was able to go part-time at her day job due to business really picking up with Excel Rain Man. And now she has plans to take Excel Rain Man full-time at some point as well. So welcome, Jen.
Thank you.
So let's get into it. The first question I always ask folks is, you know, what made you want to start bringing in some part-time money?
Well, I think it was less wanting to bring in part-time money and having an idea. I was basically the go-to spreadsheet person at all of my jobs, and friends who I didn't work with would come to me or family for help with their spreadsheets. And I realized, while some people want to learn it, other people really just want you to do their work for them. Right. And move on. So I kind of just bought a domain name and went from there and sort of started this as a all moonlight. It would be just me, and that would be my little side business. So it was a little less about just bringing in money and more kind of the curiosity and having the idea.
Right.
Not knowing if it would go anywhere.
Gotcha. So was the business you were, or the job that you had full time at that point, did it involve spreadsheets?
Yes, it was full time, and I was knee deep in spreadsheets. And basically, even though I had a function at the company, a specific function, I was known as the spreadsheet person. So I was all of a sudden helping people in human resources, helping people in IT, helping people in finance, in addition to my own job. So that's what made me realize, well, maybe this is an asset if I'm willing to, if they have me helping so many departments.
Right. And what specific role was it, if you don't mind me asking?
It was a lot of kind of managing, you know, companies these days have so much data, and they know everything they can do with the data, different ways it can be summarized, but it doesn't mean the person working on it can summarize it quickly. So it was, gotcha. A lot of the work was just creating reports. Mm-hmm. Hand reports that could summarize things right away and automate things. Or, and alternatively, cleansing data initially. You know, sometimes you just get this thing of data or a data dump and it's not ready to be kind of summarized. But, mm-hmm. You know, we have ways of cleansing data quickly as well, depending on its form.
Right. So, did you have hopes that maybe... you said you thought you had an asset on your hands here. So what kind of hopes did you have in terms of initially bringing in some revenue for yourself or creating something of value?
Well, so initially, if you don't mind me kind of bringing up one thing, I wrote a PR outlet or this, it's something called Daily Candy, which is a daily newsletter. Yeah. So I wrote Daily Candy an email pitching my business for them to write about. And okay. I worked very hard on this pitch, and I worked with my husband on it, just kind of thinking, oh, it's a cute, fun business idea.
Right.
And then I sent it off to them. I just found their email addresses. Sorry, my light went off here. I found their email addresses, and I just sent it off and had a really good response. And within 2 weeks, they went through, they featured my business in their daily email. So once they did that, I went from two people clicking on my website to 7,000 in one day.
Wow.
So I think I was really fortunate that, you know, I had this really initial push that was like, all right, this could happen. You know, sometimes it just takes a little luck to make you realize this could work. And then I think once I got that, since then it's been in the back of my mind, this is going to happen somehow. I'm going to make this happen.
Right.
But prior to that, it was more of like a little side project.
Gotcha. What was it in, maybe inside you or about you that said, that made you switch from I'm going to work at this company and advance in this company versus I want to start something on the side that I own that I want to create?
I think that was always in my, you know, my DNA. I'm technically the only person in my family that works for the man at all. So I always knew I wanted to go do something on my own. And it was just about doing it responsibly. You know, it's really hard to leave healthcare when you're paying student loans, when you're paying rent. You know, it was just about doing it the right way. But I always knew I wanted out, mm-hmm. and to work for myself.
Okay, so talk about the timeline from 2008 to 2012. And you mentioned, well, I mentioned in the intro that, you know, at one point you were full-time, then you switched to part-time. So maybe just walk us through those different phases.
So I guess the initial phase, when I started the business and was full-time, it was sort of a trying time for me in terms of I didn't like my full-time job, but it was obvious security for obvious reasons, financial security. And so I had this whole – my whole goal was always to quit my job, to do this full-time. But that was not necessarily feasible. The first 2 years, Excel Raymond didn't do well enough for me to merit that, for starters. And I just wasn't in a position to go part-time there. The company I worked for, that just would never have flown.
Gotcha.
So the interesting thing that happened was amidst this, I think it was about 2 years after I started Excel Rain Man, I got a job offer elsewhere.
Okay. Which
made me feel very weird accepting it because I thought it meant I was giving up on my business. You know, I'm taking another full-time job. What am I doing? And it was very interesting because me taking that job, I was much happier. And I found when I was happier, because work is 40 hours, 40 plus hours a week, you know, I was less, I hate to use this word on a podcast, but I was less desperate because I was just happier.
Right.
And I felt like that just allowed the business to move forward a little more comfortably, mm-hmm. as opposed to me kind of hinging upon every little thing. If that makes any sense.
Yep.
Just because I felt like I woke up in the morning and I felt pretty good about it, going to work, even though Excel Rayman was my dream.
Right.
In addition to that, me taking on this other job, I was taking a position that I am the only person other than my boss at the company that does what I do.
Okay.
Where I was before, 20 other people did what I do. So me asking to go part-time would not have flown there. They had 19 other people or 20 other people that could step in and do it. Whereas I got myself at my current job in the unique position where they, you know, they kind of needed me. And me going part-time was better than them having nobody.
Right.
So it was kind of an interesting place where I was fortunate to do that.
Sounds like it was. So talk about maybe, did you tell your previous job about your business, and then when you interviewed for the second job, did you tell them about the business?
I did. I told both companies about the business. Well, first of all, I think having a business on your resume is it's a good thing. You know, it shows, wow, this person's a worker.
Right.
And though some people could say, are they going to be doing that on their own time? I was very cautious to never do anything like that on my own time.
Right.
Or on their time, excuse me. So I did disclose it in a very kind of, just in the interest of full disclosure, I want you to know that I am doing this. And then they were kind of like, okay, whatever, this is probably some, you know, little thing you're doing at home. It's like a blog. You know, just, I don't even know if they took me seriously, but the fact is I at least went through the motion of doing it the right way. And then they totally were fine with it.
Gotcha.
Both companies. So I would definitely encourage people to do that. I think people don't think that far past a comment like that.
Right. And then this past summer, you went part-time. Maybe talk to us about that conversation you had with your boss.
Yeah, actually, it was a very well-planned-out conversation. Because I wanted to say, so I work 3 days a week for them. And I wanted to get across that I could do a great job 3 days a week without sounding as though they were paying me unnecessarily for 2 days a week before.
Right.
So it was basically me saying, you know, my business is going well and this is my dream. However, I love working here. I love working with you. So saying this is my heart on one side, but also I'm very happy on this other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I would really love to go part-time because I want to stay here. And I realize all the hesitations you would have, but let me prove it to you. Mm. And it was more of, what if we just did a trial period, whether it's a month or 2 months or 3 months? Let me just try and show you that I'll make this work. And if it doesn't, obviously you can tell me at any time and I'm going to do what you say. You know what I mean? Because they either let me go or maybe they ask me to come back full time and then I have a decision to make. Right. But so my boss was pretty shocked when I told her, and the conversation didn't seem to go well, but I think she went back and thought about it and discussed it with the CEO. And in their eyes, it's better, you know, to have me there, because then I'm there. If they want me to train 20 people, I can train 20 people. But with me gone after 2 weeks, I'm just gone.
Right.
And they knew I was willing to walk away.
Hmm.
So,
talk about that. Maybe financially, how were you able to walk away or be comfortable walking away at that point?
It was, so Accelerating Man got, I had put sort of a monetary figure on what I think Accelerating Man needed to make.
Okay.
For me to feel, like, if you wait for it to get to the one figure that's really amazing, then you've kind of waited too long. You know what I mean?
Right.
That probably would be years away. And having a Monday or a Tuesday to do real work would be, that's going to help your business grow. So I kind of had this tweener number that I thought, that'll pay the bills at least.
Right.
And then I don't know if I'll have any spending money, basically, but I'll at least have all my bills paid.
Gotcha.
So I thought if I had more time during the week.
Sure. You know,
like I had a little faith in like what I could do, you know, pounding the pavement.
Right.
So it's not like it was in such a great place where I was going to be like raking it in, you know?
Yeah, yeah, but you wanted it. You wanted it bad at that point, and you knew you wouldn't fall on your face if the job went away instantly. Like you said, you could cover the basics. And then with the extra time, you know, who knows what you could pour into the business. Being a consultant business, I mean, it's very hourly heavy. So the more time you have, the more billing time you can apply to your clients. So
exactly.
Makes a lot of sense. So maybe talk to us about, you know, more about the business itself, what you actually do for people.
Okay. So the bread and butter of what we do is people have something they're working on in a spreadsheet, mm-hmm. and they don't, maybe they know what they want, but they don't know how to do it themselves.
Right.
Or they know how to do it, but the way they're going to do it is maybe going to take some time. So they'll basically send us their spreadsheet and any comments they have. They can do that via email or they can submit a request on our website. And then, you know, we'll look at it. Often there's a phone calls or a couple phone calls or some emails involved. And we kind of just iron out, this is exactly what you want. And once we do, we send them a quote and the scope of what we plan on doing for the review. And if all is, you know, if they're okay with the scope and the quote, we just move forward. It's a pretty simple business model.
Very cool. And if you don't mind sharing, what was your revenue for 2012?
It was just under $100,000.
Okay, awesome. And you expect big things for this year as well?
Yeah, it's funny because I'm actually in a small business kind of training class or a class that moves your business forward. And it's easy to double or triple your revenue when you're making $5,000 in the beginning, you know, and now it's like, oh, I have a little more work to do this year.
But so how many spreadsheets is that produced, over a year?
I should be able to answer that. I would say the meat of our business is like 10 clients, but then we probably have like 30 or 40 smaller clients.
Gotcha.
You know, so maybe that would answer it like 10, you know, 40 or 50 spreadsheets. But lots of them, it's multiple workbooks. So it's probably a lot more than that.
Gotcha. So do you have also like a suite of spreadsheets people can come purchase from you, or is really everything just really customized?
It's interesting you mentioned that, because there's been a lot of asking for stuff like that. And mm-hmm. at this point, we do sort of seasonal templates, which is more, it's free. Most of them are free, and it's to generate buzz. So we do a Super Bowl box pull template.
I saw that, yeah.
March Madness bracket managers. So it's if someone can't do CBS Sportsline at work, but they have Excel, everyone can use Excel at work.
Right.
So they can use our spreadsheets for that. So it's more been stuff to get people's attention as opposed to make a, you know, have something to sell on our website. We do have a couple of templates that we sell, because some of them that are less seasonal will feature free for a few months and then sell it for a couple bucks later. Like we have a budget planning template, and then we have a big wedding template that's pretty huge. But we haven't necessarily done that. But it's always in the back of our mind to do something like that.
Gotcha. So you mentioned creating the buzz. I like that, throwing out the free spreadsheets to create buzz. So maybe talk about some of the marketing that you did to get your product or your services into the hands of customers.
Actually, this would be me talking about the free aspect of it might shed some light as well. So we offered the first year, we do this great football survivor pool, where it's basically, as some people call it, a suicide pool, but we think survivor sounds a little more sweet. And it's a pretty cool spreadsheet manager, and there aren't really things out there that help these managers organize the pool.
Gotcha.
The first year we did it, we thought, no one in the market has this that we could find online. Let's sell it for $5 or $10. I forget what we decided to sell it for. I think it was $5. And a couple of people bought it, right?
Okay.
So the next year I said, it's one of my subcontractors, Alyssa, created it. She's kind of our template guru, and she creates awesome templates. Right. So the next year I said to her, let's just give it away for free and see how that goes. And a couple hundred people downloaded it.
Wow.
So it kind of made me think, I think people really don't like giving away a dollar, but if it gets them to download something from our website, and we can get a couple hundred people to download it, it just makes a really big difference for us, you know?
Yeah, it's probably a really impressive spreadsheet. Someone would say, wow, and then, you know, I'm sure your logo is right there on the top or somewhere.
But people don't want to pay a buck for it. That's just the way it goes.
Right, but the impressiveness of it, I'm saying, would lead to future business of some sort, you know, maybe.
And it's also a good kind of, for people who go to our website and wonder, well, how do I know that you can actually do this?
Right.
It's a good way for people to see, okay, they do these crazy things. So it's good, kind of shows our portfolio a little.
Right. Gotcha. So let's back up a little. When you said you first started the website, you bought the domain, Excel, why Excel Rain Man?
Well, when people would ask me for help at work, you know, someone would call me like the Excel princess, the Excel queen. And that had no ring to it for obvious reasons. And then this guy that I really didn't like, this old man, called me the Excel Rain Man. And I came home and I said, you know, he called me Rain Man. I feel like that's kind of a big deal. And now I'm going to do this spreadsheet work for him and not complain about it. So then when I bought the domain name, that was always in the back of my mind.
That's funny. I like it. So you set up the website, and, you know, how did you generate traffic or get people to the website to be interested in your business?
Well, our website went through two phases, and I don't know if this is a fair stat, but I guess a lot of times after 3 years, it's good to kind of like it's good to get a new computer after 3 years. It's good to kind of give your website a redo. Mm-hmm. And the next phase of the website was included a blog. So even though I was sending out a newsletter before, it wasn't getting anywhere on the website. So I think having the blog for search engine optimization reasons has made the big difference. Because now, you know, someone could have Googled football survivor pool 2 years ago, but I don't know how much you would have seen Excel Rayman come up, but now it comes up pretty well because it's, you know, littered all over the website.
Right, right.
So I think having the blog made a huge difference. Other than that, the content of the website has really stayed the same. You've always been able to download templates, always been able to watch video tutorials and stuff like that, or submit a request. But I think that the change of website really helped.
Gotcha.
And we do Twitter. Truthfully, I don't do as much of any of that as I should.
Gotcha. Talk briefly about, you've said we a couple of times now, so obviously you have some staff involved. So maybe talk about the progression of hiring people and whether you went contract or employee.
Yeah, actually, the beauty of my business, and I'm very fortunate that I only need to pay somebody at this point if money is coming in.
Right.
Or that's how I've structured it. So I have 14 subcontractors who do the work.
Wow.
Most of the Excel work, and I do some too. And it's basically, if the work comes in, it's theirs. And it's a really nice thing because all these people have other jobs, or they're in graduate school, or they're, you know, these brilliant women who have children and have their PhDs and just want something for a year or two.
Yeah.
So it works really well. I started out with, it was just me, and then I got two subcontractors after that Daily Candy newsletter went out. About 30 people wrote me interested.
Wow.
So a subcontractor didn't even occur to me. I thought if you hired someone, you had to have salary and benefits and all these things. And then I realized, oh, wait, these people, the nature of my business, people don't want to do this full time. They do this for extra money and because they like to brag about how good they are at Excel. You know, they get kicks out of it. So I'm very fortunate that the people that apply, that's what they want.
Right.
And so I've never owed money that I didn't have, which is very nice.
Have they all come to you and applied?
I just lost you there. Sorry.
Oh, I was saying, have they all come to you and applied directly, or did you go out and use a service to find anybody?
Oh, that's a great question. So often people will just write, especially now as, like I said, Google clicks are up more. Initially, there was the Daily Candy. Then I started posting on college career sites, just the ones that were free. And I had decent luck there. I would get a lot of people inquiring, but the thing about it was they were, when you're doing that for a college website, most people really want a full-time job, which I'm not able to give them. And I don't think they, even if I could, that would be their end-all full-time job that they'd want. So it was hard to keep people around for long. Like, they get a big investment banking position. It's hard to say, oh, stay with me, you know.
Right.
So I did that for a while. I mean, I got a couple subcontractors that way. My recent luck, fabulous luck, has been through LinkedIn.
Oh.
There's, you know, joining groups that pertain to your community. You know, if you sell biscuits and you want to find, you know, people who cook biscuits, there's going to be cooking biscuit groups all over LinkedIn.
Awesome.
And all you have to do is write, anyone interested in picking up extra work and working remotely or doing whatever?
Uh-huh.
And I mean, hundreds of people will respond.
Yeah, and you have a standard contract or agreement that you just give to them to sign before they get going? Is that how it works?
Yeah. We have non-disclosures, confidentiality, subcontractor agreements, and everything.
Okay. And talk about maybe the formality of your business from a tax and legal perspective. Did you set up an LLC, or what have you done there?
I'll do my best to tell you. So we're an LLC, but for some reason my accountant has asked, we've become an S Corp this year. I have no clue why, but my accountant made me do it. But he said I still tell people I'm an LLC, and I have no clue what's going on.
Yeah, that's a smart move. Your accountant's a smart guy, so I did the same thing.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Yeah. That'll save you on some payroll taxes.
Yeah.
Or self-employment taxes. So, good stuff so far. This is awesome. So, just wrapping it up, a few more questions. Maybe let's talk about the balance you've had to maintain with doing this and still having the part-time, quote-unquote full-time job. You know, maybe talk about how you personally manage your time, I guess.
Okay. Well, I think learning how, like, what parts of your day you can do what and how much you can do away from your desk is important. So anything I needed desk-worthy or laptop-worthy, I would try and do it kind of 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. was my computer crunch time, you know? And that didn't mean just answering emails I could do on a BlackBerry or a smartphone, because I can do smartphone stuff on my way to work. I can do that at lunch. Like, so it was really about organizing my day of when I'm going to be at a computer and when I'm not, or when I can make phone calls and when can't I? Because the fact is I can't call these people at 5 a.m.
Right.
You know? So a lot of it had to do with just mapping out my day and how I could use it. So lunch hour, if I had to make phone calls, that was always during my lunch hour, but I don't have to take lunch at 12. I could take lunch at 2. So it was more about planning the time that I could make these calls and when possible, asking people to plan the call. Like, I do everything I can to plan a call time as opposed to just calling somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate it when people are willing to do that with me too, because then I can organize around it.
Yep.
So there was a lot of that, but also really taking advantage of my lunch hour. So many people sit at their lunch or sit at their desk for work. And technically, I can't speak for everybody because everyone's job is different, but I could leave my job. And sometimes I would sit there and do work when really that is my time. And there's so much you can get done in an hour. Making emails, making meetings, making calls. So, or for me, I would always draft newsletters and do stuff like that at lunch. And I'd say the big thing I recommend is when you're pinching pennies, but you still have a full-time job, you know, reward yourself and buy yourself all the technology you need. Like an iPad, a laptop, a smartphone, you need that. And it makes you run your business no matter where you are. Like, I've always paid for the hotspot, so I always have internet. And, I mean, it's a luxury I have. I don't have a retail location, so all I have to do is pay for this, like, tech stuff. But having the ability to do anything anywhere makes a big difference.
That's great. That's good advice. I'm a little more cheaper than that. I probably pinched too many pennies along the way, but that's good advice. So you talked about you mentioned a newsletter.
Yes.
Is that part of your marketing strategy?
Did you say, was that a marketing strategy?
Yeah. Was that part of your kind of how you were trying to market your services?
I would say that was practically the extent of it other than attempting to get PR. So basically we would send out a newsletter once or twice a month. I didn't want to send it out so much that I drove people crazy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that they just unsubscribed. And so I really try to, whenever I send out a newsletter, it has some sort of relevant content. I'm not just writing out, just here I am again. Every newsletter features some sort of spreadsheet, seasonal spreadsheet, or keyboard shortcuts, or something relevant.
Gotcha.
So that, I would say, is sort of the extent of our marketing strategy. And then in terms of PR, that was sort of a separate thing as well.
Gotcha. So one of the last two questions I have is what are some of the keys to your success? And then what are some of the mistakes you made along the way? Before you talk about the keys to your success, it sounds like the daily candy email deal was a big deal. So for someone out there looking to maybe replicate that, is that something that's still possible, and how did you get into Daily Candy again?
Yeah, I always say, you know, I'm going to be 70 years old talking about the day I was in Daily Candy. I mean, it was a big day for me.
Yeah.
The thing about the Daily Candy is when you write for PR, when you want to get your business mentioned, put a lot of thought into it. I mean, we took this email and that I drafted for them, and my husband, who's an excellent writer, I mean, we combed through it probably for 4 days and rewrote it, because it's really the power of the pitch, and you know, you have to make your pitch relevant to the people you're writing to. So
sure.
Daily Candy is aimed towards women kind of 20s to 40s, who are really into fashion and retail, and it's, you know, I don't want to say it's crass, but they say yeah. funny things. And so my pitch to them was kind of talking about how life was so unfair at work. I mean, I even wrote in the pitch, OMG, you know, people walk all over me. And then, you know, I made it funny to appeal to them. Now, right. if I was writing cranes to get a pitch, they don't want me to say OMG in my pitch, you know? So I think it's a lot of really putting the thought into it to get the press.
Gotcha. And,
like, it shouldn't just be, and I'm all about a template email, because speaking of lack of success, when you send that kind of blanket email that someone, like 30 other people have seen, people see right through that.
Right. Gotcha. Other successes or other keys to your success?
I would say my work ethic has been a big part of it. Mm-hmm. And sticking with it, you know, like I said, the first 2 years we weren't making very much money, and just sticking with it, and because I really believed in it. So I think sort of, I used to always say celebrating the small victories. So even if someone like said to me on the street, you know, or at a cocktail party, I really love the business name. That's like a little victory, you know, or getting a request, you know, or getting mentioned somewhere, like just kind of celebrating the small things. And just finding a way to be patient, because a lot, especially with my business, I can educate people about what I do, but that doesn't mean they have work for me for 6 months or a year. It takes time. So, like, just getting comfortable with understanding it's going to take time to convert someone into a client.
Right. Gotcha. Good advice. And then finally, any mistakes you made along the way that you can maybe pinpoint for people to watch out for as they start their part-time business?
Yeah, I think, like, as you can tell, I'm very lucky to be able to work at home.
Right.
But I'd say I feel so fortunate that I get to work part-time. But make those days count. You know, I could busy my day with doing other things like picking up dry cleaning or going to the grocery store or, you know, going to a spin class. But the fact is, like, I worked hard to get to part-time, and I want to make Accelerate Man full-time. So make that day, like, plan it out, every hour of it. And even if you can't make meetings all day long, plan out what you're going to do and get up as early as you normally would. And don't go out the night before. You know, you don't want to be hungover on your days at home. Gotcha. Save it for your days going to work.
I like that strategy.
Yeah.
All right, Jen. Well, thanks so much for being on with me. That was an excellent interview, and your business and your story is perfect for the podcast. So I appreciate you being on with me today and being so generous with your time.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.